This morning I want us to take some lessons from the eagle. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and as you know, we're up to chapter 19. And when you look at the book of Exodus, we need to be reminded that the journeys of those people, that we can draw lessons from the things that they went through in their journeys as they travelled to the promised land. When the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he was referring to the nation of Israel, he said this in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. So as you view the book of Exodus and as you learn about God's people, their journey, their mistakes, their trials, their victories serve to instruct us today as we journey in the Christian life. In the book of Exodus, we see how much God cares for his people. Now, when we come to Exodus chapter 19, we find that God's people are at the base of Mount Sinai. They're going to camp there for the next 11 months. Now look at verse 1 there in Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. As you read the next couple of verses, you find that Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, up on top there, and he talks with God, and he comes back to the nation of Israel to speak God's word to them. Look at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Moses was to remind the people of Israel of their deliverance, of how God was going to draw them to himself. He reminds them of what he did with the Egyptians also. When you look at Israel and you review their history, you find that God released his people from the Egyptians. They were in bondage. And then God rescued his people from the Egyptians as they went through the Red Sea. Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. For 430 years they'd been there, but it was time for God to move them out. Look at verse 4, Exodus chapter 19. I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. The study of eagles is interesting in the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 there, it's the first mention of eagles that we find in the Bible. If you do a study of eagles or the word eagle, you find eagles or eagle are mentioned 34 times in the Bible. Let me give you just a couple of places where the Bible talks about eagles. The writer of Proverbs, in Proverbs 30, verse 18, says, There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Isaiah mentions eagles. Now, this is probably one of the most famous verses. Isaiah 40 verse 30, Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In the book of Job, we have the eagle mentioned. Job 39 verse 27, Doth the eagle mount up at thy command? And make her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeth the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. In the Psalms, we have the mention of the eagle. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Eagles are amazing birds. You know, they say that the eagle has 4 to 5 times better sight than human beings. They say that an eagle can see a rabbit 3.2 kilometres away. Eagles have amazing strength. You ever seen a picture of their talons, those huge strong claws at the end of their legs? There was a story that was written last year, 2018. It was a story about a poor little dog called Zoe. And Zoe lived in the United States in a town called Bowmanstown, which is near Philadelphia. And this guy was minding his sister's house. And his sister had a little dog, and he let the dog out in the yard. And he heard this great lot of sound. And as he looked, he saw little Zoe flying over the trees. She'd been clapped by an eagle. You can read about this on the internet. Little Zoe was discovered 4 miles away from where she took off. The virgin flight, unfortunately, was not good for her. She ended up battered and bruised, but she survived. Unfortunately, though, the article goes on to say that little Zoe is now reluctant to leave the house anymore. Eagles have amazing eyesight. Eagles have amazing strength. Eagles can fly to amazing heights. There's a biologist in Western Australia, and he decided that he would attach solar-powered monitors on eagles to do tests on them, to see how far they could fly. And using satellite technology, he discovered that eagles in Western Australia could fly up to 6.5 kilometres above the earth. Amazing birds. Eagles have been seen to fly at 10,000 feet. And there are some eagles that can cover 360 kilometres in a day. Eagles are great builders. They can build their nests in trees or high up on cliffs. I used to have a boat, and I'd take my family out at Lake Keepert. And Lake Keepert is built on an old riverbed, the Namoi River. And we would go and start to go right up the old river. And I remember going up there one day and seeing this enormous eagle's nest. I couldn't believe how big the sticks were or how big the nest was. It's probably been there for years. It was probably there before the dam was flooded. They're amazing builders. There's 2 eagles in Florida that hold the Guinness Book of Records for the biggest nest. It's estimated that their nest weighed 20 tons. It was 20 feet deep, which is about 6 metres, and it was 9.5 feet wide. Eagles are incredible creatures. They are a wonderful creation of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses also mentions the eagle. Just like an eagle cares for a young, God cares for his people. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. We can learn a lot from eagles. As the eagles look after their young. So the Lord looks after his people. Deuteronomy 32 verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. God's word uses eagles as an example to us. If you understand the eagle's ways, you can begin to understand God's ways. If you understand how an eagle builds, you begin to understand how God builds. God's desire was to draw the nation of Israel to himself. And the way that God drew Israel to himself can be demonstrated in the life of an eagle. Moses was to tell the nation of Israel this in Exodus 19 verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. As the eagle works, we see how God works. As the eagle builds, we see how God builds. Have you ever seen an eagle's nest? The nests are very interesting. The eagle's nests are very carefully designed. The eagles will choose a high place. It might be up on a cliff, might be on an enormous tree. And the two eagles, the mother eagle and the father eagle, will build the nest together. When the mother eagle begins to build the nest, she does something very strange. First of all, she puts down huge branches, and amongst those branches she puts thorns. And amongst the thorns she puts rocks. That's the foundation layer. And then what she does, she starts to line that nest. She lines it with fur and with feathers of animals that she has killed. It takes, for a bald eagle, they say it takes the male eagle and the female eagle 2 weeks to complete their nest. Some of those nests can last up to 35 years. Some eagles will nest in the one nest for 35 years. It's recorded that bald eagles can live up to 38 years old, and sometimes if they're in captivity, they can live longer. As an eagle takes time to build a nest, God took time to build the nation of Israel. As an eagle takes time to build their nest, God takes time to build you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the little eagles, they're called eaglets, when they're young, they get home delivery all the time. They don't have to go outside the nest at all. When you read about them, you find that they get home delivery between 1 and 8 times in a day. The mother or father eagle will go off, they go hunting, and when they're very young, they scrunch up the food and they deliver it to their beaks. As they get older, they don't deliver it to their beaks, they begin to deliver it a little bit further out in the outside of the nest. By the 12th week, around 3 months old, the little eagles are ready to fly. Now, the eagles need to be taught how to fly. So their parents model for them how they must fly. They spread their wings out, they hover over the nest. The little ones stick their beaks up from the nest and their eyes, and they look out and they see their parents gliding in the sky. And the little eaglets must say to themselves, I wish I could do that. I wish I could fly like them. Well, the time comes when Mother Eagle wants them to fly. And you know what she does? She stirs up the nest. Remember, she's put thorns and stones and sticks in the nest. Well, what she does, she gets rid of the fur and she gets rid of the feathers and she stirs up the nest. She brings the thorns to the bottom of the nest. She stirs up the sticks so it's no longer comfortable for the little eagles to sit in the nest. They probably think, Mom, what are you doing? It's no longer warm. Mom, it's cold in here. Mom, these thorns hurt me. As you trace what happens to the eagle, you find that Mum decreases her home deliveries. She creates a hunger in the little eaglets. She flies above the nest. And then the day comes when they realise that we can't stay here any longer. The little eaglets start to spread their wings from the nest to a branch nearby, and a branch nearby, and a branch nearby. And then the day comes that Mother Eagle comes to the nest, she picks them up, and she throws them out. And the eagle, if it's a very high nest, if it's in the crag of a rock, that little eaglet begins to tumble out of control. And the mum comes down and swoops under her and bears her up on her eagle's wings. That's a beautiful picture of what God did for the nation of Israel. "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." You know, there are times in our lives where God rustles the nest. There are times in our lives where we think we are falling, but we're afraid in our lives, but he bears us up on eagle's wings. Well, the day comes after the flight lessons. The nest is no longer comfortable. They've got an understanding of what it is to fly. And the last day comes for the eaglet. And on the end of the nest there, the eaglet launches out, spreads their wings, just like they've seen Mum and Dad do. And 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 8,000 feet. They're gliding through the air. They are free. Come down to the ground. And the eagle has landed successfully. Now let's get back to the Bible here. When you think about the nation of Israel, God stirred up their nest. The Israelites had grown quite comfortable down in Egypt. They were well fed, they were well watered, they were well looked after. The Nile River that was near them, it overflowed its banks and it made one of the most beautiful, fertile places on the planet. And there they grew food and they had leeks and onions. They had meats, they had all the produce that a land could give them. And they became quite comfortable down there in Egypt. But Egypt was never meant to be their permanent place. You see, years before, God had called out Abraham, and Abraham was to be the father of the Jewish nation. And in Genesis chapter 12, you see that God stirs up the nest of Abraham. He was living in a modern city of his day, the Ur of Chaldees. And God got him out. He stirred up his nest and he gets out of Ur and he takes his wife. And they go and they become tent dwellers and they follow God because God is going to show him the promised land. God gave him this promise in Genesis 17 verse 8. "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." The Lord didn't just want Abraham and Sarah to settle down in the Ur of Chaldees in that modern city. The Lord had a land for them. The Lord had better things for them. The Bible says of Abraham in Hebrews 11 verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." There's a temptation for you and I to be quite happy in the Egypt of this world. There's a temptation for you and I to be earth dwellers, but God has a heavenly home for us. And sometimes God stirs up our nests so that we long for our heavenly home. Sometimes he stirs up our nests so we will bring others into our ultimate promised land. Well, the Israelites were the descendants of Abraham, And as I mentioned, Egypt was never meant to be their permanent home. God stirred up their nest. How did he do it? Well, in the book of Exodus, you find that there was a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And the Pharaoh decided that he would put the nation of Israel into slavery. But just as an eagle mother and an eagle father is never far from the nest, they're observing and they're hearing the cries of their eaglets, God heard the cries of his people. Exodus 3 verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God had a better land for them. God didn't want them to stay in Egypt. So God stirred up the nest in Egypt, and he did that by Pharaoh. Moses was to tell the children of Israel in Exodus 19, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God stirred their nest. As the eagle builds her nest, so God was building a nation. As the eagle builds her nest, so God builds the Christian. He does it in like manner. He stirs up our nests from time to time. He makes us uncomfortable from time to time, so we can look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. The eagle, as I mentioned, uses all sorts of ingredients in her nest. And in that nest is the thorns. When the Lord was building an apostle, the apostle Paul, the Lord used a thorn. He described it as a thorn in the flesh. As the Lord built an apostle, he used the good times and he used the bad times. He used the joy and the suffering. He used the praise times and he used the prison times. Paul spoke about his thorn in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul got a thorn so that the Lord would build him into an apostle. The eagle uses many different ingredients to build a nest. The eagle uses different ways to make sure that her eaglets mature. Some of those ingredients in her nest are very pleasant, like the fur and the feathers. But some of the ingredients in the nest, like the rocks and the thorns and the sharp sticks, are very, very unpleasant. When God builds our lives, he too uses various ingredients. And some of those ingredients for our growth are unpleasant. Who likes Anzac biscuits here? Yeah, I just want you to imagine a scenario. Imagine I say to the ladies, look, I think I've been in the church long enough now. I think I know how you do it. I'm going to do morning tea, right? Morning tea next week. I've read all about it and I've found the ingredients for Anzac biscuits. And I'm going to make Anzac biscuits for the whole church. This is only a pretend example. Next week, right? I'm going to make Anzac biscuits for everyone, all right? And the next week comes along, and I announce now after the service, I've got all the ingredients, I've got the recipe. The recipe I got, Country Women's Association approved, RSPCA approved, organic, the whole lot, you don't have to worry. Come out there. And I get you all excited about the great ingredients I've discovered of the Anzac biscuits. And you go out to the table there and you look at the table, and I've set the ingredients out in china and in bowls. And what you see when you get to the table is 2 tablespoons of golden syrup, 150 grams of unsalted butter. You have half a teaspoon of bicarbonate soda, 1.5 tablespoons of water, 3/4 a cup of decimated coconut, there's half a cup of caster sugar, there's 1 cup of rolled oats, and there's 1 1/4 cups of plain flour. And you go, there it is. I've got the ingredients. It's my Anzac cookies. Go for it. I say, Neville, sit by the caster sugar, take all you like. And Neville says to me, I don't like caster sugar. I say to someone, there's the butter. This is the Anzac ingredients. Take the butter. Take all you like. I say to someone else, there's the flour. Take the flour. Eat the flour. Someone comes to me after and say, Vince, thank you so much for the morning tea, but the ingredients, I've learned from my wife, but the ingredients are meant to be mixed together. You're not meant to serve the ingredients individually. You're meant to mix it all together, and then you put it in the oven for 12 minutes for 170 degrees. That's what you're supposed to do with the ingredients. Now, some of the ingredients in Anzac biscuits are not tasty at all. Some of the ingredients on their own, if you took enough of it, they'd actually make you sick. But when you take all the ingredients and you put them together, you take the stuff that's yucky and the stuff that's good, and you put it all together and you end up doing it properly, and you fry it in the oven. I shouldn't say fry it in the oven. You bake it in the oven and it all comes out, and it's at the right temperature. It produces a golden Anzac cookie that is an absolute delight. God is not baking cookies, but God is building a people. And God takes ingredients that are pleasant, and God takes ingredients that are not pleasant, and he blends them all together under his sovereign hand, because God is building a people. And just as the eagle builds her nest, just as the eagle trains her young, God is building a people for himself. God's desire for the nation of Israel is that they might come to him. God's desire for the nation of Israel is that they might grow to know him and love him and see that he was their provider. And God's desire for the nation of Israel, that they would see him even in their troubles, and that they would see that ultimately he's preparing a people for another land. Not to stay in Egypt, to go into a land that God had promised them. An eagle uses the ingredients of hard things in a nest to mature her young. And so God uses the difficulties to mature us and to drive us to him. Exodus 19, verse 4. Yea, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, when I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. The psalmist wrote this: before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 119, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The psalmist wrote this, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Is God's word your delight? Is God's word your food? Is God's word your strength in your afflictions? Is God building you with the afflictions? And is God building you with his words? As an eagle grows her eaglets.
God grows his people. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Isaiah gives us great comfort. Isaiah in Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Can I ask you, has God ever stirred your nest so that you might draw closer to him? Is God stirring your nest now?
If you read Christian history, you'll find the stories of men and women where God has stirred their nest and they've drawn closer to him and they've made an enormous impact for the Lord Jesus. There was a man called Martin Luther. And if you read his story, he was born in 1483. And Martin Luther, his dad wanted him to study law. His dad got him to university. And he's riding a horse with a friend one day. And out of the skies, this huge thunderbolt comes and strikes his friend dead. His friend dies right beside him. He was stirred up. He began to think about eternal things. So Martin Luther enters a monastery. He's a Roman Catholic. And in that monastery, he couldn't find forgiveness of sins. He was plagued with how evil he was and the sin that he had. But God was stirring his nest. In the book of Romans, he found that those that were justified, those that were made right with God, if they placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, they could have a home in heaven. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He came to understand as a Roman Catholic monk that he could be justified by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him alone and not the church for the forgiveness of sins. He became a Christian, but the Lord stirred him up again. He saw the errors of Rome and he nailed what is called the 95 Theses on a church door in Wittenberg in Germany. 95 objections that he had to the things that the Roman Catholic Church that he knew were doing wrong at the time. God stirred him up to make a difference. And when God stirred him up, God used him to stir up the whole of Europe. He ended up being brought before the emperor at the time, Charles V. He had to appear before what is called the Diet of Worms. Worms was a place in Germany, and he had to give an account, and the emperor wanted him to renounce his writings. God was stirring the nest. And this is what Luther said: "My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." God stirred a man, a monk that was relatively comfortable in a monastery. God stirred him up. God converted him by using Romans chapter 1, verse 17. God stirred him up again, and he writes his 95 Theses. He nails it on the door at Wittenberg. He testifies before the emperor of the day. And then you find the rest of his story, that he goes into hiding, and God uses that time for him to translate the Bible into German.
God stirred him up. Has God ever stirred you in your life?
Has there ever been a stirring in your heart for missions? Has there ever been a stirring in your heart for evangelism? Has there ever been a stirring in your heart to know God more and more, to study his word more and more, to rise up like the eagles, to see that God is your provider and your protector, and that God will raise you up one day just like the eagles?
You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we,"
that's us, if you know the Lord Jesus, "we're going to soar like eagles one day,
then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord."
Jesus Christ, speaking of that event, said this:
"Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, 'Where, Lord?' And he said unto them, 'Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together.'"
We're going to rise one day. If you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, we're going to rise higher than the eagles.
Has there been a time where the Lord has stirred your heart, stirred your nest? "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint."
God was building a nation, and God is building a people today. Look at the eagle. Learn from the eagle, and you'll see how God builds his people.